Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
I was listening to the McNeil and Parkin Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
The person that has been inflicted the most in this process is Melissa. And what I want to say to everyone here today, and also to her, is that I want to own those actions. And I am sorry for the hurt that I have caused Melissa and the pain that I put her through. And I am trying my best efforts to become a better person. I understand that there's Cubs fans that don't understand this process that I'm going through. I'm sorry for letting the Cub fans down, along with the organization. What I want to say to them is, I am committed in my work to become a better person. And be a better person at the end of this.
It was Addison Russell earlier today at Sloan Park. This hour on the Score brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Yeah, what was it, around 1:45 or so today when Addison Russell held court with the reporters assembled at Sloan Park? And we didn't get anything specific on what Russell is doing. He described hard work. He said, I'm driven. He talked about owning it on multiple occasions. I'm showing improvement. I want to have accountability. But there was zero follow-up from our wonderful baseball reporter community on what the specifics are. What specifically are you doing? He volunteered on his own late in the news conference. He is seeing a counselor on a weekly basis. No one asked if that process is going to continue for the baseball season, which I'm assuming Theo Epstein and the Cubs organization would find desirable. But I listened to it and I reflect back. We've had a few hours to get to some other issues today. We've had a lot of weird things going on and some sad things. But it just it saddens me that trained members of our local media in a market like Chicago can't ask some simple questions about the human condition when it's required. Like, what was at the root of your anger? What is your relationship, or what was your relationship with alcohol or other substances? It was a shockingly poor performance by people who are paid to ask questions. Maybe they should stick to baseball.
I thought that Addison Russell was clearly coached, clearly scripted, and his words are not nearly as significant as his actions. And so we'll see if he stays on the path to making it back to baseball. But he's got multiple children that he's responsible for multiple different women. He has a 29 games left on his suspension. So he's got a long way to go. But he seemed to be scripted and well-coached, and I get it. He's not a public speaker, and he's talking about a tough issue. But when you keep referring, regardless to the question, without any specifics, to, you know, thank you for the question, I'm committing to being a better person, I'm not proud of who I was, those are all fine things, but they're platitudes.
It'd be shocking if he said other than that, wouldn't it?
Right. They're
proud of all that.
They're platitudes. And so when you say you don't want to get into specifics, it makes it feel like you could be just checking something off on a box. And domestic abusers it's a pathological condition. You could be manipulative. You could be coercive. You could be deceptive.
A great actor.
Exactly. And so there is concern there. Not that I would, listen, I'm not clinically trained, obviously, to diagnose any of this, but when he is that scripted and that rehearsed, I think it is a fair question to wonder, is he really learning from all of this, or is he doing what he just feels he has to do because it's the next step for his reinstatement to his very lucrative career?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, those who make several mistakes have earned all the suspicion, and I am included in that group. We earn those who doubt us, absolutely.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm with you. I said the same thing afterwards. It felt too scripted for my liking, and I wished the press went harder at the root causes. But given that he was not really, you know, I meet with my therapist weekly, but not really willing to go into what that was. Or,
and the problem with news conferences is people have an idea of what they want to ask and they don't listen to the person having the news conference. And when he admitted, when he gave up that he was seeing a counselor on a regular basis, the natural follow-up is, what are those conversations like? What specifically are your issues?
Right.
We still don't know.
Right. And he probably would have said, I don't want to get into specifics. Right. Based on his other answers, I think he would have said, I'm not proud of it. I don't want to get into specifics.
Well, booze was had been an issue during the times of some of the assaults, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
At least one of them.
The one walking home from the bar where she alleged that he threw her down to the ground
while
on the pavement.
While she was holding the baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he got home and she had the baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I'm with you. It was light on details, and he felt very, very, very scripted. But like I said, before it even happened, I didn't have that high of expectations for it. Because it doesn't benefit him much to overshare and start talking extemporaneously for 2.5-3 minutes per answer when he's not a public speaker. You can only get yourself into a lot more trouble.
Well, yeah, potentially. I don't suspect he's ever answered a question at the 2.5-minute mark.
Right.
Regardless of the topic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So then you get a topic like this, and you've been coached from your agent, the team, the PR staff, whomever, and they're like, hey, you know, say that you're not proud of who you were. Be respectful to the reporters. Thank them for their questions. Mm-hmm. Say that you're working to do better. Focus on. So, like, that's just what he kept doing. Regardless of what the question, he just kept saying the same things. Mm-hmm. And people saying conversations with your therapist are private. Yes, of course, but not.
He's a public figure. He's a public figure holding a news conference about why he is confident he's returning to his employer and still has suspension time left and a big hill to climb in terms of rehabbing his image.
Yeah, I mean, he could reveal things from his therapy session if he wanted to.
Right. It's all.
He's the source.
Second time today we got HIPAA law people. No, it's not HIPAA. Please. HIPAA law precludes him from talking about himself.
All right, well, on issues that do get serious in and around the world of sports, if you and I are on the same page, I do like to try to let other people represent opposing viewpoints. So Alan in Lansing says I'm entirely wrong on Colin Kaepernick, who the collusion lawsuit was dropped today because the NFL paid him a whole bunch of money. What am I wrong about, Alan?
Well, I mean, not so much. I mean, you're not wrong about what Kaepernick has every right to do what he wants. He did a great thing. I'm not disputing all the good that he has done. But if you say, in your words, you said that he has the right to do that, if I own the Bears, the Lions, or whoever, I have a right to put whoever I want on the same team that I pay for. I don't whether I think he's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether he's better than, you know, my third string, you know, water boy, I still have the right as an owner to have whoever I want. And if I don't want Colin Kaepernick on my team, it's only fair for you to say that the owners have the right, that Colin Kaepernick had the same right.
They do. But here's where it got tricky, is that all 32 owners came to the same conclusion, and people who have done way worse than Colin Kaepernick, who, again,
he's not a criminal. Like, you know, Ray Rice, Hardy, I get that. I'm just saying, from the other angle of it, is, you know, what, you know, I think it was more of a domino effect for the owners. One didn't do it, one, and so on, like a snowball effect. I don't think they all partake. Hey, Jerry, what are you doing today? I don't know. What are you doing?
Well,
today?
We'll see. Well, we actually now we won't see. But they dropped the lawsuit. So there was something that the Colin Kaepernick legal team had.
Yeah,
that the NFL didn't want public. You'd agree on that, right?
I do agree on that, but let me ask you this question, in which I don't know, is will they come out with a statement saying, or redacted, however they're going to do it, will they come out and say there was a partial people that were proven?
No, it doesn't look like it. It looks like there was a non-disclosure agreement. So
okay. Yeah, everybody's buttoned down on this, and we probably won't even – I doubt we'll ever know the exact figure of what the settlement is.
I don't know.
We'll be guessing.
There might be some sort of investigative journalism that comes out around this, right? There might be.
Won't be done by any of those reporters who were in Cubs camp today, I promise you that.
No, it won't. But there's...
So did you guys collude? Okay, I'm good.
There is still a big story here, because what was the evidence that drew the NFL to write that check? I'll tell you this. Colin Kaepernick and... let me start it over. Chris Carter said today on national television that he thinks that Kaepernick is going to sign with the Patriots. Now, all I can tell you about that is that they know each other, and he had never said that before, and then the news broke today of the lawsuit dropping. So it won't, and then the NFLPA, the Players Union, released a statement saying that they were happy that Eric Reed got back into the NFL.
Right, just signed a new contract this week.
With the Panthers. And they are hopeful that Colin will get a chance for a job again. So the Players Union thinks Colin's got a shot at it. Chris Carter, who knows Kaepernick, thinks he's got a shot at it. To the tune of even naming the team, it wouldn't shock me at all if Colin Kaepernick plays again.
I hope he does. To the point of what his people had on the NFL, I tend to lean they did have evidence that was going to embarrass the NFL, but I cannot say that I'm 100% convinced of that, because corporations, to avoid silly-ass, very expensive, long-standing legal issues, sometimes will be happy. A company like the NFL, worth what it is, I mean, while everybody's going to miss $60 million, they will miss it less than most companies will, if that's what they pay to settle and get it behind them. That's typical in mediations and settlements, where a company just says, enough, we don't want this to continue, we don't want to keep dumping resources, here's the check.
Correct. And that is their prerogative. I think it's crazy. That's why so many of us had a problem with it. It was like, what? This is the thing? This is the thing that was just so beyond the pale for your league that you couldn't possibly stand to be associated with. That was the part of what?
The first time you got downwind of the news that NFL players were taking a knee, do you remember what your emotional, if any, reaction was when you either heard about or saw that for the first time?
The first time? No, I remember how it happened. I remember there was like grainy footage because it happened in a preseason game. He had been kneeling for a game or two, and no one noticed it.
And then Eric Reed joined him.
And then later on, Eric Reed joined him, and a reporter locally asked him, why are you kneeling during the national anthem? And then he talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember thinking, it's an interesting way to protest. Not an interesting cause to protest, because it was a valid cause to protest. It was like it was the story of the country at the time, the Black Lives Matter movement. And, that was post Eric Garner. That was post Trayvon Martin. That was post Mike Brown. That was post Tamir Rice. So many had Laquan McDonald. So there were so many issues. It didn't seem like a crazy cause, obviously, to protest. It just seemed like a unique way to protest.
My reaction to it when it happened was, that's kind of uncool. Bet he's going to have a little bit of PR work ahead of him. Having no idea at the time it would enrage a nation to a very large degree. I never saw that coming. I knew it would upset some people. I had no clue it would lead to a league that wouldn't choose to employ him ever again, or people say, I'll never watch this NFL again. Really?
And I'll tell you this, too. I didn't know, and this is my own naivete, I didn't know that so many people thought that, like, the troops, like, as just like a, as a group, owned the national anthem. Like, first of all, there were plenty of troops who supported Colin Kaepernick. That came out.
Right.
Second of all, Nate Boyer, a former Green Beret, advised him, hey, sitting's a little disrespectful. Why not kneel during it so that you can get your point across? So Kaepernick actually changed his form of protest after consulting with a member of the military, because he was actively going out of his way to say, I'm not disrespecting the troops. This is not about the troops. And my guy Nick Wright made the point, and it's a brilliant one, is that if he would have done the exact same thing during an NFL game, kneeling during the national anthem, and then when asked about it, his cause was, I hate how our servicemen and women are treated. The VA is woefully underfunded, and the suicide rates of our veterans is too high. The educational opportunities, the employment opportunities are too high. These are our bravest men and women, and we do not do a good enough job taking care of them. And so I will not stand for the national anthem until I feel like our troops are being better taken care of. Would people still have a problem with it, with that outrage of kneeling during the national anthem? Or was the cause really that you were just mad that he was talking about black people being killed by police?
I think there's always going to be a certain people who are going to be mad because they're not going to be open-minded enough to listen to the reason he's taking a knee or taking a seat to begin with. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. They want to be blind to it because they are convinced, they have a predisposed idea that he's wrong.
Right.
So whatever he's protesting is wrong.
But I just I remember from the moment it happened and seeing some of the backlash, I was like, wait, why are people talking about the military? That was the thing. I just fundamentally...
Oh, I knew that was where it was going instantly. Well, that's why I thought he's going to have some hell to pay for this. I had no idea it would go to the extreme, but I knew it would be military.
That's what was the thing that surprised
me
the
most. See, we went through this in the early 90s with an NBA player on the Denver Nuggets.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yes, yeah. We went through it with him, and it was the same thing then. So that came flashing back, and that was exactly the backlash he took.
Yeah, there was some
turned
religious...
Turned his back, I believe, to the flag. I think that was his protest.
Yeah, there were some religious components to it. And then obviously Craig Hodges never played again famously from the Bulls after he gave HW the letter in the White House. And yeah. So, I mean, I knew that there had been a history of activism, and obviously John Carlos and Tommy Smith with the Black Power salute at the Olympic Games. So I knew that protesting in the national anthem was a vehicle for political activism. What I didn't fully grasp is, how could someone who is peacefully protesting during the national anthem with the guidance of a member of the military who's saying the protest is about the police force be disrespecting the troops? I was like, are you listening to what the man is saying? Again, you can disagree with his method or his cause, but to then argue about a different cause just always seemed so fundamentally unfair to what he was doing.
These last 5 to 10 years, we just as a nation can't find enough things to be divided over, can we? It's just
not listening to the other side.
I know.
Someone said earlier, Parkins, disavow the pig socks. It did. It was a bad move.
Yeah, it was a bad move. We said that repeatedly. We'll say it again. It was not smart, and it was disrespectful, and it's unacceptable.
And it was before, by the way, he was a civil rights icon. Like, you know, he didn't have the spotlight on him then that he did, and it was a mistake. And it, to many people, I would imagine he wishes he didn't do it, because it's just been an easy thing. Oh, I'll ignore everything else he's done. I'll ignore the million dollars to charity and the Know Your Rights camp and the activism and the fact that he doesn't have a job anymore and that the NFL just paid him mid 8 figures to settle because they didn't want this. All because of socks. Like, stop. You're not that mad about socks, even though they were bad. But the wearing bad socks, the punishment for that isn't lifetime ban from the sport. Stop. Like, what are you doing?
We need help.
I know. It's crazy.
We really need some help.
It's crazy. It's totally insane. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I think if a team decides that Colin Kaepernick or any other player can help their team win, that's what they'll do. They want to win, and they make those decisions individually in the best interest of their club.
It's Roger Goodell. We'll see if that happens. Colin Kaepernick gets a job now that he's gotten a whole bunch of cash.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at nusports.com.
Should the defending FC North champs wind up losing Mitch Trubisky's services for a couple of games as they did this past year en route to 12 victories, I think Colin Kaepernick would be a much better choice than Chase Daniel.
I'd love to see him work out. It's been years since he played football.
He's 31.
I know.
Yeah.
I obviously agree with you in principle.
The beatings he hasn't taken physically in the last 5 years.
Yeah. He was what? He had a quarterback rating of 91, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks in his last season, limited. Bears fans skewed against him because he was awful in that game against the Bears, where he had multiple picks, no touchdowns. He was terrible in that game. Colin Kaepernick at this point is probably not a starting quarterback in the NFL, given how many good young quarterbacks have come in. Could he compete for a starting job somewhere? I'd bet that he could. I think that, you know, depending on if the team wanted to draft a guy, like, would he be an upgrade over Eli Manning, Blake Bortles, Ryan Tannehill, perhaps? Yeah, places that don't have young heir apparents. Yes,
yeah.
I do. In the right spot, I could see him being a starter, but I would think those teams, they also have high draft picks. They'd want to draft a young guy. But like, say Eli Manning retired, and you could have Colin Kaepernick be the starter with a young quarterback, with bring in Colin Kaepernick and Kyler Murray. Let those guys go.
That'll be a circus of a training camp.
In New York, something like that. Just off the top of my head. You know, because, yeah, Cap's mobile, strong arm. And honestly, now at this point, I don't know if he'll want to play football again. I assume he will. I kind of hope that he does. I'd love to see it. It'd be a great story. But now that he got all of this money and he's been out of it for so long and he's a legitimate activist, maybe he's like, I don't need to go for $4 million and get my head kicked in and be a backup.
Well, if the settlement, they estimate what, between 60 and 80, let's make it 70 then.
Just whatever.
$70 million, I mean, he does, so he clears what, $40 million-ish?
Yeah.
You don't have to work, but when you've tasted that money before, and you're a competitor and you've performed on the stage as he has, his stage being an NFL gridiron, I bet he still has that burn. I bet he wants to prove people wrong.
Oh, and trust me, he'd be the biggest story in the NFL. He'd be the single biggest story in the NFL if Colin Kaepernick came back and tried to play football and had a shot at a starting job.
Yeah, and is there going to be an organization that has the nutsack to take on that PR risk? The Bears apparently weren't willing to do it with Kareem Hunt, whose behavior was far more egregious in my mind than Colin Kaepernick's was. In fact, I don't even consider it egregious. I consider it his right as afforded him by the Constitution.
And that was what was crazy. Everyone was like, Greg Hardy, Ray Rice, Kareem Hunt, they can play. Man, you're comparing him to criminals. that was what was the crazy part of that conversation. It's like, wait, what?
Well, this you know how long it's taken people to unlearn bigotry regarding race or religion. This is a relatively new phenomenon, the protest during the anthem. It's probably going to take a long time for people to unlearn that is not a crime.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, John Carlos and Tommy Smith in the Olympics raised the Black Power, you know, like, what, 1936? You know, like, it's not that new. No, how he did it was new.
Yeah, but Bruce is the only one who remembers that.
Okay.
Bruce Levine.
It wasn't in front of Hitler, but you know what I mean? But it's not that new. It's just... People have gotten twisted into knots. It's just always surprised me why this was the thing that made people so mad. I could see ambivalence. I feel like it doesn't affect me.
And that
indifference, yeah.
Yeah. Indifference. I could see it. I wouldn't like it. I think it's, you know, you should have concern for your fellow man. But like, indifference, I could see. Anger? It's kind of a tough one for me.
Anger that takes to such levels where you're going to boycott a game you've loved for 20, 30, 50 years. I'll never watch again.
Yeah.
That man! You find that man! Off with his head!
Yeah, just it's our thing. The 68 Olympics, obviously.
Did I say
36?
Yes, yeah, I thought. I'm thinking, man, you're going in a way back machine, yeah. Jesse Owens.
Yeah, right. I flipped them. Jesse Owens, 36. John Carlos, Tommy Smith,
it's all
68.
Right.
I flipped you for real on that one. That was my bet. Less in Oak Park, you're on the score.
Well, you guys have made so many comments, I don't know where to start. First of all, concerning Addison Russell, a therapist never divulges that privacy.
But the therapist didn't have a press conference today.
Yeah, Stan.
I know, but a therapist, have you ever gone through therapy? They never divulge it. It's client privilege.
But that's not what we're asking.
Dude, look, he's talking. His therapist isn't talking, and he's not with his therapist. Why are you confusing the two? How stupid are you tonight, Les?
Mac goes to therapy and has divulged things that he's said in therapy.
I just can't believe the stupidity of several of our callers today.
Now, concerning Kaepernick, you know, we have to realize the motivation of these owners to exact this collusion. They, from what I understand, there was a reaction that led to people not buying tickets or canceling season's tickets. You know, I don't know the extent to which it occurred, but they're in business to make money. And if this guy was a deterrent to them making money, I can understand their base. Not saying it's right, but I can understand their motivation.
What about? Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. That any one team could say that they were going to lose money. Do you see why the opinion of the masses would be this thing? Peacefully protesting racial injustice is going to cause you more money than employing a domestic abuser. Do you understand why that would have a cognitive disconnect with many people?
Certainly.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the perspective of the owner who doesn't want to lose ticket sales in either case.
Right, but it's not a great reflection on society if the owner says that our fan base can't handle the black man peacefully protesting, but they can handle the athlete who's punched a woman.
Well, of course it's not a good reflection on society, but it's the reality. These guys are in business to make money.
Right, but is there any proof that it would hurt money?
Anecdotally, from what I heard, people were not going to games. They were canceling the season's tickets. They didn't like what Colin Kaepernick was doing, and so the owner said, we've got to stop the bleeding. I'm not going to hire this guy.
Well, yeah, but so that was the issue, right? It was anecdotal. And you had the president of the United States calling everyone SOBs, and it was a very toxic time, and Trump was gaslighting the NFL owners, and a lot of them were donors to him, and they didn't know if he was going to be president or not. And so like that absolutely was a part of it at the time. But now that rhetoric has slowed down years later, it always just felt hollow that they kept him out. Weird fun Friday for us, Mac. Weird show.
Nice effort by the Hawks last night against the Devils. 5-2 the final. I'm a little bit concerned. This is three straight games without a power play tally last night. The boys 0-3, and you are not going to come close to getting that eighth spot in the West if you do not stop these 40-plus shots on goal nights. Cam Ward having to stand on head again last night. But Brandon Saad, welcome back. This is the guy we saw 4 years ago when Hawks last hoisted cup.
Yeah, you know, they've won 8 of 9. They're, what, within 2 of the playoff spot, but there's still 3 teams in front of them. Like, the bottom of the West is just crappy and bunched up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I saw on Hockey Reference today, because now I check that website ever since you've told me that they've got a shot to make the playoffs. I think they're still hovering at around 13, 14%.
That's all right. That's all right. You're telling us we still got a chance, right?
You got a shot. you got a shot.
Columbus in tomorrow night. Get yourself Panarin. Okay, is he healthy right now? We're going to see him in a Hawks uniform next year again. He's coming back. They get it at Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman. Did a great job in that deal with Arizona.
Is that just a widely held assumption that Panarin's coming back, or does it just speak to the lack of creativity of hockey fans?
Hawks fans are trying to speak it into existence.
It's like, oh, we know that name.
Their problems aren't on the offensive end, gang. And so I want him back, too, but they need help on the blue line. They need experience, and they need another, if not frontline defenseman, a third or fourth defenseman to help out next year. They got to get better on the blue line. Get better on blue line, Danny.
It's a good place to get better.
Yeah. I mean, you can't give up 40-plus shots. And often shots on goal, not necessarily a reflection of how the ebb and flow of a game is. These have been. There have been terrible breakdowns, and not just in their own end, sometimes coming out of the neutral zone. I think when the Hawks have been really good lately, they've had a lot of puck possession time. And they have been really aggressive on the forecheck, and those are good things. And Kane extends the scoring streak again last night. So good luck against the Jackets tomorrow, fellas. Thanks for talking a little sports with me, Parksy.
Well, sure. We've got no transition coming up there.
Yeah, we don't need it.
No, definitely not. There's been something pop culture-wise that I've wanted to get to since Wednesday, and it's just been a crap. No? You don't think that?
I'm just kidding. I was giving Danny that we don't have time mechanic because I know you've been wanting to get to it for like 3 days.
For 3 days I've wanted to get to this story.
It's going to be a weak crack slipper.
We're doing it coming up on the score.
We're going to make phenylacetone in a tube furnace. Then we're going to use reductive amination to yield methamphetamine, 4 pounds.
So no pseudo?
No pseudo.
So you do have a plan. Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
Yes, I got what I deserved.
Keep it going.
Kept you waiting there too long, my love.
The Breaking Bad movie coming to a Netflix subscription soon, near you. News came out Wednesday. They're going to follow Jesse Pinkman, the Aaron Paul character, and his escape at the end of the show. It started on Netflix and then going to AMC. And I will say,
I'm a bad finger guy. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Okay. It's all about you, baby.
Thank you, Chris. Personal disc jockey.
Yes, science.
Science. No, listen, this is one of the greatest television shows of all time, and if you are a Breaking Bad fan, I hope you've been watching Better Call Saul, because most TV shows that turn into movies, most of the movies suck. But Vince Gilligan has earned our trust because he created – this is a man who found his lane. He created Breaking Bad. It was genius. Breaking Bad ended. He had all sorts of offers to do all sorts of things.
Right.
He passed on them. He created a prequel to Breaking Bad, so he stayed in the universe. He created Better Call Saul. It's amazing. Better Call Saul is going on. They're getting nominated for Emmys left and right.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do for his next project? He makes a movie in the Breaking Bad universe. So he's staying in his lane. If there was someone outside of the Breaking Bad universe that was doing this, if this was 30 years into the future, if it wasn't Vince Gilligan, I'd have no interest. But Breaking Bad fans, it's going to be good. I got confidence.
I'm glad this the last text that just came in because I was going to ask you to do the same thing. He says he's never seen one episode of Breaking Bad, and he has a frowny face there. I've only seen a couple of them. For those of us who don't speak the language, what did we miss by not taking part in that television phenomenon?
One of the great anti-heroes of all time in Walter White. So in the mold of Tony Soprano, like the bad guy that you root for. That is what Walter White is. The story is of the chemistry teacher who gets diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, and because he's too proud to reach for a financial handout to help cover his medical costs from his rich friends, he decides to begin cooking methamphetamine, and ultimately the terminal cancer diagnosis isn't so terminal, and he becomes the drug kingpin of the Southwest. And so it's a chemistry teacher who long ago had made enough money to take care of his family, but he became drunk on power and became a big-time drug dealer.
Or the short of it, Vince Gilligan always says they wanted to turn Mr. Chips into Scarface over a series-long arc, and that's pretty much what they did.
Yes. Like the amount of evil that you're excusing by the end of the show because you are conditioned from the beginning of the show to like Walter White, the main protagonist, is remarkable. You're a big fan, right, Tanny?
I am, and I steered clear of this topic. I didn't even know it was going to be a movie until today. I thought someone had said it was going to be like a series, and I was not particularly interested in that because, you know, the Aaron Paul's character, I was like, ah, I don't know if I could do that. You know, meanwhile, with like a show like Sopranos, I could watch an entire season long, you know, arc on Rosalia Priel. You know, this is an off character, you know, but the fact that it's going to be a movie and Vince Gilligan has a blank slate because what happened with the Jesse character, you can go in any direction you want to. And that's what I'm most excited about. Who's going to stay in the world? New characters added to it. It should be very cool.
It should be great. And what's so amazing about it is it's an expansion of the world. Because now we've got the prequel, we've got the main show, and then we'll now have this postscript that, who knows, does it pick up in the car chase scene? Like, does it pick up in the first scene post-Breaking Bad? Or does it go a year into the future, 5 years into the future? How long of a time period does the movie span? Like, the world and the amount that he can expand upon it is bountiful.
That'll do it.
I hate to leave with this, but we have new information on the Aurora shootings. There are at least 5 civilians who were killed in their workplace today. The shooter also was killed. His name was Gary Martin. Police, all kinds of emergency equipment still on the scene in that part of Aurora. So sending warm thoughts to those affected.
It's terrible. We had the Chicago Mercy Hospital shooting recently. You know, it pops up. It pops up everywhere. And we got a big problem because it keeps happening. And there's no real motivation at a solution, so it would seem.
We had one guest today. He was Father Matt Foley, the real Father Matt Foley.
Yes.
The alter ego of Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live beginning in 93. Why would you talk to him today? Well, today would have been Chris's 55th birthday had he not OD'd on a December night in 1997. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bruce Levine also.
Oh, yeah, Bruce was here to defend the news media.
The segment brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at nusports.com. Texter says, please acknowledge the police officers who were shot. We did and have many times. 5 officers shot, 5 civilians killed in Aurora today. Weird show, lots of turns. Appreciate Nick Shapkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill, he's the best audio man in the business. I believe Bears All Access is coming up next. He's Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. That makes this The Score.
Guys, I've got a lot of things to do today. Talk to you next week.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.